yesterday afternoon that we needed a lesson for today. And so this is kind of a pull-together service today. So we made some changes. We kind of changed things up a little bit. And it's great that Stephen and Kristen had some time off. But I think they're kind of need to have a vacation from their vacation. Kristen's brother has had some continued illness and was unable to go on the trip, and so they were constantly checking up on him and finding out what was happening with him. What's that? Yeah, I was rushed to the hospital, and all kinds of things were going on with him. And then Andrew got sick. He's had fevers to 101 this week and throwing up and all kinds of stuff, and so more detail than you probably want. But anyway, I tend to provide that, you know. A dinner table with a doctor, you kind of get a lot of detail sometimes. So I have to learn to get a new filter sometimes about what things I share, what things I don't share. So, but anyway, we're going to talk about Philippians today, one of my favorite passages. It's really awesome. And so I was thinking of a variety of things yesterday when Stephen said, "Hey, can you preach?" I said, "Well, I can do a sermunion." So this is going to be a shorter version. Kind of a sermunion is what this is. But I do want us to get into God's word today. So I don't want to make it too short, but yet it's hot, and so I'm going to kind of try to figure out a happy medium. So I'm going for mediumness today. So let's look at Philippians 3. We'll start in verse 7, and we're going to read down. "But whatever gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want you to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection, and participation in the sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Now, ahead of this, earlier in chapter 3, Paul had just been talking about being an awesome Jew. He had been an awesome Jew. He knew the scriptures, frontwards and backwards, the Old Testament scriptures. What we call the Old Testament, they call the Tanakh the Jews do. And so, but he knew the Tanakh forward and backwards. He knew all the Old Testament, really thoroughly. Most of it, you know, a lot of it he had memorized. And yet he was, you know, very righteous in the Jewish faith. But he says, "I consider that rubbish. I don't want to have a righteousness based on my own power, based on my own knowledge. I want to have a righteousness based on God and based on Christ." And so that's what this is all about. And, you know, for my own life, in verse 7, it says, "Whatever gains were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." I need to have that kind of attitude about my education. You know, I spent 26 years going to school. Wow. You know, so, and, you know, a lot of doctors are very prideful. And there are times I have a tendency to be prideful. And I need to put that to death every day. You know, I think about Jesus' life, and Jesus would be out there serving, and he would be giving and healing, and he was constantly swarmed by people. Well, people come and see me by appointment. Judy came and saw me this week by appointment. You know, they don't just swarm in my office. They come in by appointment. And sometimes if people come in late, we cancel their appointment. We say, you know, you came in too late. We can't see you today. And maybe that's wrong, maybe that's right, I don't know. But sometimes late in the day, I have to think about my staff. I have to think about, it's not my staff, I'm just an employee, but I have to think about the staff that's there. And, you know, they've got plans that night. I can't keep them late if they've got plans going on. And like Friday, you know, the lady who is my nurse, she works another job. So she wants to go home, take a nap, and then she can go on and work at her other job. So sometimes when people show up late, you know, we have to choose not to see them that day. So you have to reschedule. But that's not the way it was with Jesus. He just kept seeing them. Darkness came, and he was still healing people, you know. He kept serving. And I need to have that attitude. I need to have the attitude of wanting to serve people and help people no matter what. And not think about, well, you didn't show up at the right appointment time. My attitude. I'm not talking about office staff. I'm not talking about, you know, how we're going to keep the office organized. But in my own heart, I need to have an attitude of, I'm going to help people whenever I can. Any way I can. And, you know, we tend to be kind of prideful as Americans. You know, we got 4th of July coming up. We think, man, America's the best country in the world. And it's true. But we can't be prideful. We can't look at ourselves as Americans. We have to look at ourselves as disciples, principally. And we all have tendency to have pride about something. You know, there's something we're prideful about because we're human. Part of being human is being prideful. You know? And we need to fight that pride. And we need to consider the things in our life that perhaps we could be prideful about. We need to consider those as loss, as Paul says here. Anything that's in our lives, we need to put on the cross every day. We need to kill anything that is prideful in our lives. Anything that is not spiritual, you know, can be many times a sin. It can be a struggle for us. We have to daily put all things on the cross. You know, our ideas of how our day should go out the window. And we need to serve God and say, God, use me today as you want to. You know, this needs to be your day. And then, what is worthwhile in our lives? What is worth? It says here that, with the fan, my Bible turned here on me. Okay. So, in verse 8 it says, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. What is the biggest worth in our lives? What is the biggest value we have in our lives? It needs to be the same attitude that Paul has. It needs to be Christ Jesus. It needs to be the biggest value of anything in our lives. You know, we need to consider anything else garbage. It's just refuge. And the thing that's most important is our relationship with Christ, our relationship with God, and that we need to be found in Jesus. That's what we need to do. We need to strive to be in Jesus. And then God will give us his righteousness by his power. And that talks about that here. And so that talks about the Holy Spirit. God gives us a righteousness from the Holy Spirit. And we need to strive to have God's Holy Spirit deeply in our lives and helping us to become more and more righteous all the time. And in verse 10 it says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings. How often are we praying, God, help me to suffer? You know, we tend to avoid that prayer. We're like, man, I don't want to suffer. God, bless me. Bless me, God. But Paul wanted to suffer. He wanted to have fellowship with Christ's sufferings. You know, we got to think sometimes, what am I praying about? I pray that everything goes smoothly. Not Paul. He prayed that he could suffer and then know his Christ better because he knows what suffering is all about. You know, suffering does come on us naturally. There's things that come on us. You know, life changes. Life things happen. And many times we have suffering. And sometimes the suffering is brought on by ourselves. You know, we cause suffering. But sometimes suffering happens because we're disciples. And so that kind of suffering, we need to rejoice in. When we suffer because we've shared our faith at work, and somebody has a bad attitude towards us because we've shared our faith. That happened to me several times. And where I had to suffer at work because I had reached out to somebody. And so that's a good suffering to have. Doesn't feel pleasant. But yet, You know, we need to rejoice in that kind of suffering. And but, you know, I think we need to take it, perhaps you have to, you know, think about it for yourself. Do I want to take this, being closer to Christ, because I suffer, to a new level in my own life? Do I want to pray that God will help me suffer? Think about it for yourselves, okay? But I'm just saying that that's where Paul's heart was. He wanted to know Christ's sufferings. And he wanted to become like Jesus in his death. And he did. You know, Paul was crucified. Well, he was killed for his faith. Peter was crucified. He was crucified upside down. Paul was actually beheaded because he was a Roman citizen. Roman citizens could not be crucified. The Romans considered that to be too horrible for a Roman citizen. So Paul was beheaded. And that was the worst thing they could do to him, was beheading. I think that's pretty bad. Yeah, that's definitely suffering, you know. It's not the same kind of suffering Peter went through, but it was still pretty bad. I don't want to be beheaded. So, you know, I don't know about you all, but so, you know, anyway. So, and in verse 11, so if we've gone through becoming close to Christ, becoming like Christ, then somehow we can attain to the resurrection of the dead. And Paul's not questioning there. He's not saying, I'm not sure if I'm going to have resurrection from the dead. He's just saying that, you know, somehow God does it. Somehow God's power gives us the same power in our lives that we can be resurrected just like Jesus. That's what he's saying. He's not questioning, is it going to happen in his own life? He's saying that somehow God does it. He takes our bodies, no matter how long we've been in the grave, how deteriorated we are, he takes those bodies and he resurrects us that we can go to heaven. So again, here I'm being gruesome again, but anyway. Now let's take a look down to verse 12. Not that I have already attained all this, or have I already achieved my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on. So he talks about it here twice, that Paul keeps pressing on. He keeps going for it. He doesn't hold back. He presses on. And the way he presses on is he presses on towards righteousness. He presses on to be closer to Christ. And that needs to be our attitude. We need to press on. When we have things that have been discouraging in our lives, we need to press on. When we have things that have gotten us down, we need to press on. And, you know, sometimes it's good for us to think about our sin in our lives. You know, we're going to have to take communion in a minute. And it's good for us to think about the ways we've sinned this last week, the way we've sinned the last couple weeks, the way we have hurt God. And it says that that's a time for us to be open with God and to think about, you know, this is a time that we're in contact again with the cross, and that God takes away those sins on the cross. And it's awesome that we can be tied back to the cross every week through communion. And but, you know, if we've got a lot of sin in our lives, this is not a time to not think about those things. This is a time to think about it, to want a desire to repent. And then once we've thought about it, we take it to God and Jesus here at this time of communion, it's time to forget. It's time to say, okay, I've been washed. God keeps washing me. God keeps renewing me. I can be forgiven of my sin. God does forgive me of my sin. I need to repent, but yet I don't want to perseverate. Perseverate means keep thinking about. Keep dwelling on. I don't want to perseverate on my old sins. I want to be renewed. I want to forget about my old sins. I want to move on. It talks about here, I want to press on. I want to press on. I want to have a goal of being sinless. I want to have a goal of being righteous. And I want to press on towards that goal and not be perseverating about what's happened in the past. So, amen. Let's read on. Let's read verse 15 of Philippians 3. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of these things. And if at some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we already attained. You know, there are some of us who have been around for quite a while. Some of us who have had victories in our lives, you know. I know Adele doesn't struggle with the same sins she did when she was younger as a disciple. You know? It's rare that Adele gets angry anymore. But there was a time early in our marriage when Adele went at me with a tennis racket. She was angry. And there was some husband abuse there, you know, with a tennis racket. So I don't want to keep, you know, talking about that all the time, but once in a while I kind of bring it up and kind of. But the point is, Adele's changed. She's not an angry woman like she was, you know. She's changed. And many of us who've matured in Christ have gained a level of righteousness that we don't struggle with the same things we used to struggle with. And we need to be grateful to God that He's helped us to change. You know? You know, I look at Jeff, I look at Chris, I look at so many brothers that I know well, and they don't struggle with the same things they used to struggle with. God has given them victory in their lives. And we need to, it talks here in verse 17, it says, join together in following my example. So we need to follow examples of guys like Paul, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. So those of us who live at righteous lives, we need to look at them as a model and ask them, how did you do this? How did you, you know, overcome the sin? How did you, and it's through God, you know, the way we did it, the way people do it, the way people gain righteousness is just God. But yet there are little tricks, little things you can do to help you become righteous. In verse 18, for I've often told you before, and now I tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. For their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. We need to set our minds on heavenly things. We need to set our mind on the things that are righteous, the things that are noble. And it talks about that in it talks about that in Philippians 4, and I'm not going to get into that. I want to go ahead and cut this lesson short. But we need to set our minds on, not on earthly things, but on heavenly things, and on things God wants to set our mind on. And in verse 20, we need to be aliens. We need to be aliens, because our citizenship is in heaven, it's not on earth. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies that they will be like His glorious body. You know, as we take communion, this is a time for us to reflect. It's also a time for us to rejoice. To rejoice in the resurrection. That one day, God is going to do this. He's going to take our lowly bodies and transform them into a glorious body. And He's going to cause us to be resurrected just like Jesus was resurrected. So let's rejoice in that as we take communion today. Let's think about God. Let's think about our lives. And let's also rejoice as we take communion today. Now let me pray. Father, we thank You so much for this time we've had to come and reflect on Your scriptures. We thank You so much for the example of Jesus, how He was such a servant. And Father, I look also to the examples of men in the scriptures like Luke, who was a physician, and he gave up his practice to be with Paul and to follow Paul around. And he was a servant. He wrote about half of the New Testament, if you look at the number of words. You know, when you add up the Gospel of Luke plus Acts, that was about half of the New Testament, and Luke wrote that. And he was a servant, even though he was a physician. And Father, help me to be a servant. Help me to learn how I can serve others in better and better ways. And Father, we thank You so much that we can have our sins forgiven constantly. It's not just at the time of baptism, but it's constant, Father. We thank You so much for that. Help us to be renewed today as we take communion. Help us, Lord, to, as we break the bread, to think about ways that we have been sinful and the ways we have broken Christ's body with our sin. And as we take the fruit of the vine, help us to remember that it was Christ's blood that cleansed us and continues to cleanse us. And help us to remember that because of the cross, we have the glory of the resurrection in front of us, and that we can be confident that we are going to be resurrected with You one day. And Father, we thank You so much for all the ways You bless us. Thank You for this time to gather today, even though it's been hot, even though It's not been ideal as far as temperature. Still, we've had the opportunity to meet together. And thank you that we get to take communion together right now as a body of Christ. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.